You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
The Holy Gospel according to John. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, and because he was before me, I myself did not know him. But I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel.'" And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.'" The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means the anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which means Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear God, we live in a world that sometimes doesn't show appreciation. We might feel underappreciated, and we have probably failed at being mindful, thankful, and appreciative of all the blessings you put in our life. But through baptism, you notice us, and you help us to notice blessings around us. Help us learn from St. Andrew how to notice and be thankful. In your name we pray, amen. Well, during this season of Epiphany, we're talking about baptism and learning from faithful people what baptism means for us in our life today. On Epiphany, we learned from the Magi to present ourselves to God, like they presented themselves to Jesus in baptism, and that God affirms diversity of people and cultures. Then we learned from last week, Simon Peter, to profess our faith. That's step two of baptism. I'm coming over here because there's 8 sides. Step 3 of baptism we learned today from Andrew, St. Andrew, is to be thankful, to give thanks for baptism. Anytime you wash your hands, take a shower, drink a glass of water, it's good to thank God for baptism and the life that we know, eternal life, and just life that is requires water in our world. So St. Andrew, there's actually not too much about him in the New Testament. In the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which are kind of seen as the core older Gospels that are written, he just isn't mentioned that much. Really only in the listing of the disciples themselves, his name. We hear a little bit more about him in John, which is what we read from today. Some people have said that, you know, Andrew kind of walked around in Peter's shadow. Peter who we talked about last week was larger than life, bombastic. He was a man's man. And sometimes that got him into trouble if he overstepped, personal space and those kinds of things. But we learned that through confessing faith, God molded him into a person. And the same is true of Andrew. You know, just because he might have been in Simon's shadow, it doesn't make him a shady figure. More likely than not, he was, just kind of shy and reserved. Where the other disciples were out there getting attention, Andrew was behind the scenes. I don't know about you in your life, but you might have experienced times where you felt unnoticed or underappreciated. Those things can happen in our lives. But the good news is that Jesus noticed Andrew. Jesus noticed him. In our reading today, Andrew is there with the other disciple, and they're with John the Baptist. Jesus walks by, and John says, "It's the Lamb of God." So Andrew starts to follow him, and Jesus notices. He turns and he says, "What are you looking for?" And they say, "Rabbi, we are looking for a teacher. Where are you staying?" You know, that reminds me about the joke about the rabbi that walked into a bar. There was a rabbi that walked into a bar, and he looked very Jewish. He had the yarmulke, he had the long beard, he had the tzitzis, the prayer tassels, and he was carrying a frog. And the bartender looked and said, "Where'd you find that?" And the frog said, "In Brooklyn, there's lots of them there." What are you looking for? What do you notice? Jesus is our rabbi. He is our teacher. And he notices us. Through our baptism, Jesus notices us and calls us by name, like he did to Andrew. And that makes all the difference in the world. Because when Jesus notices us, Jesus calls us with a purpose to serve him in the world. And that happened to Andrew. As I mentioned, we don't hear a lot about Andrew in the New Testament Gospels. But after the Bible, Andrew made a big impact on church history. Simon Peter, the brother, he is seen as the first bishop of Rome, right? The first pope. Well, as Peter is respected and appreciated deeply in Rome, Andrew is in the eastern capital of the church, Constantinople, now called Istanbul. They see the line of the patriarchs and bishops of Constantinople going all the way back to Andrew. So as Peter went west, Andrew went east. Legend has it that his preaching took him all the way to Kiev, Ukraine, as far north and east Andrew traveled. Today, Ukraine continues to see Andrew as their kind of patron saint. And other places, like I mentioned in the children's sermon, Scotland. Scotland has its blue flag with the white St. Andrew cross. And apparently, the Scots were so enamored with St. Andrew as a saint and a person that spoke to them that they sent a delegation to Constantinople to take some of his relics, some of his bones, all the way to Scotland, where it's believed that some of them today still reside. And so, Andrew's impact really blossomed. It really grew with time. It's sort of like the three different, speaking of Scotland, they say that there's three sizes in Scotland. Have you heard the three different sizes in Scotland? It's not small, medium, and large. It's wee, not so wee, and freaking huge. Okay, that's Andrew. He goes from a no one that nobody sees or pays attention to making this global impact. The same thing is true for us. God calls us through baptism, names us, and gives us a purpose on this earth. And one of the things we can do to follow Andrew's example is by being thankful, appreciative, and noticing the blessings in our lives when they happen. That was Andrew's key. He might have gone unnoticed because he was busy not being out in front, but he was busy noticing what was going on. Think about it. In our gospel reading this morning, he noticed Jesus and followed Jesus before his brother Simon. Later in the Gospel of John, Andrew sees the first Greek-speaking Jewish people who come and want to meet Jesus, and he makes the introduction with Philip. It was a foreshadowing of where his mission journey would take him, to the Greek-speaking part of the empire, and where he would ultimately be martyred in Achaia in Greece. But perhaps the greatest story of Andrew is what I shared at the children's sermon. That when the rest of the disciples were busy focusing on the scarcity, too many people, not enough food, what are we going to do? Andrew focused on what they had. We've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. What can we do with this? He saw pockets of abundance. We can do the same thing. The other week, I was visiting one of our members, and we were talking about the next chapter of his life. And there's some challenges. There's some transitions this person has gone through. And we were wondering, what's he going to do? Big decisions to make. And wondering how God would provide. Well, as I left this member's house, he had his swamp cooler there, and it was dripping water. And I said, you want me to help, you know, turn off the water so that it's not overflowing since we're not in the summer? And he said, yes, please. And I'm digging through the weeds, and he's telling me where the valve is, and we turn it off. And I think, okay, that's it, we're done. And then he says, here, Pastor. And he put his hand out like that, and I put my hand out like this, and he gave me a handful of cherry tomatoes. And they were growing right there. I was just moving weeds. But it was a tomato plant. But you know what? I hadn't eaten all day. I was so busy that I didn't have lunch that day. And just that small act of generosity and abundance reminded me, God is abundant. God provides for our every need. And we can follow Andrew's example by giving thanks for the gift of baptism, and God will open our eyes to see the abundance all around us. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, and if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.